ॐ ज्ञानचिमिदं धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 22 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय His Divine Grace Srila E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Very nice purport. The Supreme Lord is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. He maintains it after creation, and after annihilation, the Lord is the reservoir of everything. Very nice purport because, in a few words, Prabhupada is summarizing the whole situation of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is the subject matter of philosophy. That is, what is actual philosophy? Philosophy means to find out what is the Absolute Truth. Of course, there may be so many different factors within that philosophy. Sometimes we hear about sex philosophy or social philosophy. So that may be also some kind of philosophy. But the ultimate aim of philosophy is to find what is the ultimate cause of everything. In what is the substance underlying everything? What is the meaningful factor? We see in this world, anyone who's a little bit philosophically inclined can see that although there appears to be much meaning in this world, at the same time, it appears to be meaningless. This is a contradiction. That there is design, there is motivation, there's design in the universe, there's motivation, every living being is motivated. Where is food? Where is sex? How can I become the biggest dog, or the biggest rat, or the biggest businessman, or the biggest sportsman? So there appears to be so much reason why people are doing things. Just like you'll see, they're advertising. Join the army. Do good for your country. This is a good reason to do something. Get more money, then you can enjoy life more. There appears to be good reasons for doing things. But then if you go more deeply and consider, everything finishes in death, or appears to. Then what is the meaning? Ultimately, what is the meaning? People, they ascribe different meanings to life, but if you examine, at least superfluously, it seems that there's no more meaning than death. And even some philosophies, so-called philosophies, are built on that, just like Charvak. His whole philosophy is built on the assumption that bhasmi bhutasya dehasya. You see, the body is burned at the time of death, then kim agamano punarbhavet. We won't come again. Doubtful. Therefore, now we have the opportunity, enjoy. Enjoy life. So he was a pious, not pious, there's no such thing as a pious atheist, but less wicked atheist. So his idea of life is get some ghee, have a feast, without offering it to Krishna. So he's an atheist. So much so-called philosophy is built on this idea that the only meaning to life is be here now, enjoy life. But one who looks more deeply, he will consider that there must be more meaning to life than simply eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. Seeing there's so much order in the universe, seeing as there is the natural intellectual inquiry of cultured and intelligent people as to animals. So that is one indication that there is more to life than simply eat, sleep and drink. And also, if we see what is the cosmic situation, that everything fits together. Everything is not simply a disjointed mess, but everything is being held together. The whole universe physically is held together. Mentally, socially, we are held together. We somehow or other, despite all our imperfections, society goes on. What is it that holds everything together? So the Vedic philosophers, they have taken the clue from the Vedas that everything is held together. The ultimate underlying factor is the Supreme Brahman, as is described in this verse, and is described throughout the Vedas, Yatoba imani bhutani jayanti, jena jatani jivanti, yat prayantyapisham vishanti, tad vijigyasasvat, tad brahmeti. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates, that which in which everything is, here the word is given, tishtati, the same idea is given in this verse, that in which everything exists, and that in which, into which everything goes at the time of dissolution. That is the proper subject for inquiring about. That is the absolute truth. Tad vijigyasasva. This subject should be inquired. Other subjects, if we inquire, then that is simply superficial. Just like so many endeavors, how to be happy in this material world, how to solve economic problems, how to solve pollution problems, how to solve social problems. But all these are superficial inquiries, important as they may seem. If we look in the newspapers, we'll see that more cultured, intellectual, intelligent people, they are interested to solve the problems of the world. And to this end, they write in newspapers. They make planning commissions. They make studies in the universities, how to control the pollution, how to, they'll make big, big studies, how to control crime. They'll make big studies, and as they're making their studies, more the crime is increasing. And they make their studies and they give suggestions and the crime goes on increasing. But anyway, even if they could decrease the crime, that in itself would not be the ultimate point of philosophical inquiry. Because even if you make heaven on earth, which is not possible, even if you make a society, utopian society, in which everyone is very nice and very kind, and loving and pleasing in their dealings. Still, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, that you cannot solve this problem. You cannot solve the problems of repeated birth and death, and within birth and death, disease and old age. Therefore, the real subject of philosophical inquiry should be how to overcome this problem. How to overcome the problem of birth and death. And that problem, that is the Vedic philosophers have given us, that problem is solved by understanding our existential position. What is it? What, these two important facts, there are so many important philosophical questions, actually important. So these questions, what is the underlying source of everything? As Prabhupada notes in the beginning of his Bhagavatam purports, that any intelligent person, he will, just by seeing the stars in the sky at night, he will consider that what is everything all about anyway? What is the source of the cosmic manifestation? What is the meaning of the cosmic manifestation? If we, just by looking at the stars at night, you see how vast is the universe, how small are we, then what is our position in this universe? What are we striving for? Any intellectually minded person will think like this. So that is one very relevant point of philosophical inquiry. Then, another relevant point, Kiyami, Kineyama, Jare, Tapa, Troy. Sanatana Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries of material life? Is it an other relevant inquiries? Who am I? No one is asking this question, who am I? Everyone just assumes in the bodily concept of life, I am this body. Who am I? And why am I suffering the threefold miseries? This is intelligent inquiry. That we're trying to solve our economic problems, our social problems, our pollution problems, our political problems. But what about solving the death problem? People are very concerned how to open hospitals. This doesn't solve any problems, actually. It doesn't solve even the disease problem. As Prabhupada noted in that book, that Vairagya Vidya that was made into a book, that if you open hospitals, simply you'll find more patients. The number of patients will increase. But there are no hospitals, people think, well, I've got a pain in my back. All right, I've got a pain in my back. But then he thinks that, oh, there's a big hospital, let's go and get some treatment. And they'll admit you for 7 days and drop something into your body and take tests and charge you 5,000 rupees a day. And you'll come out and maybe your back will be better and maybe it won't be. No, but anyway, by increasing the number of hospitals, you certainly don't solve the disease problem. If the disease problem is being solved, then we should be opening less hospitals. But instead, they're opening more. And it certainly doesn't solve the death problem. You may die with different tubes sticking out of your body and different grafts showing today he ate this much food, today he ate this much food, today he ate this much food, and today he died. So you may have grafts showing your scientific progress towards death. But you don't solve the death problem by opening hospitals. Therefore, a really intelligent person, he tries to find out what is that goal of life which cannot be obtained even by, if you think, well, I have to die. So let me go to the heavenly planets. Let me go to Brahma Loka. But Narad Muni, he advises us in the Bhagavatam that a really intelligent and philosophically inclined person, he will strive for that goal which is not obtained even by going to Brahma Loka. He will try to get free from birth and death. So these important points of philosophical inquiry, these important points for which we have been awarded this human form of life, this human form of life has not been awarded for ice skating or watching television, or even for becoming a very artistic person, or becoming an expert musician. This human form of life has been awarded for understanding who we are and getting free from the cycle of birth and death, for making these philosophical inquiries. So, philosophical inquiries, who am I, why am I suffering? That is the microcosmic question, our immediate question. Then, macrocosmic question, what is the universe? What is the meaning of the universe? What is the meaning of life? What is the underlying factor of everything? So these two questions, they appear to be coming from a different angle of vision, but they meet in the understanding of the absolute truth. Now, how they meet, this is often misunderstood by people who think that yes, the absolute truth is the source of everything, it is that from which everything emanates, it is that in which everything rests, and what is my position in the cosmic manifestation? I am the Supreme Brahman. Only I forgot. Therefore, now I've remembered, now I am God, therefore no more birth and death. This is a gross misunderstanding, which is nevertheless widely propagated, even though it's such a ridiculous mistake. For the insignificant jiva to think of himself as all in all. It is a colossal mistake. People who take up spiritual life, they take up spiritual life to become free from maya. Maya means illusion. Generally everyone is in illusion, thinking I am this body. So that is definitely an illusion. That is not correct. But if you go from that illusion to another illusion, that I am God, I am the ultimate source of everything, then actually you don't become free from maya, you become in an even greater maya. Even though you may think that now I am becoming elevated, now I perform austerities, I don't go to cinemas anymore, I don't smoke anymore, now I've become free from illusion, now I've understood I'm not this body. That's all right. You became free from that illusion. But if you think that I'm not this body, I am the universal body, then instead of having a little illusion, 1.5 meter high illusion, you have a cosmic illusion. I've realized my identity with the Supreme Brahman. So this is more illusion. Therefore, the Vedic literatures they have given us the proper idea that what is this Supreme Brahman in which everything rests? That is Tasmai Te Brahman. What is this? Tasmai Te Brahmani Namaha. To Him, that Supreme Absolute Truth, to Him, personal form is used, that this Supreme Absolute Truth, ultimately, that is not simply an impersonal concept, but the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, is Krishna. To be exactly precise, the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. As Prabhupada explains in this purport, the Supreme Lord is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. He maintains it after creation, and after annihilation, the Lord is the reservoir of everything. So the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, and our position in the cosmic manifesto, in the universal setup, is that we are the servant of the Supreme Lord. So who am I? I am not this body. Why am I suffering repeated birth and death? Because I have not recognized my position as the servant of the Supreme Lord. Then why should I serve Him? Because He is the Supreme Brahman, and you are also Brahman. Brahmasmi aham, I am also Brahman. But I am not the Supreme Brahman, I am the servant of the Supreme Brahman. I am Brahman, that is alright. I am Brahman means, I am also eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, Satchidananda. But I am not unlimitedly great. I am not unlimitedly great, as is the Supreme Brahman personality of Godhead. So this very simple understanding, if one can understand without becoming complex, without going into so many deep complexities, if one can simply understand that the Supreme Lord is the person who is to be worshipped. Who is that? Krishna. Aradhya Bhagavan Prajishataniya. The Supreme Lord is the son of the King of Raja. Of course, that may be a little difficult to understand, how the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of millions of universes, in whom everything rests at the time of in whom everything enters at the time of cosmic dissolution, who sustains everything, how that Supreme Absolute Truth is playing as the king, the son of the king of Vrindavan, Brajendra Kumar. How that is possible, that is not very easy to understand. Therefore, in the beginning, one should try to understand the Supreme Lord as the greatest person. We are worshipping the deities, Radha Krishna. But we are understanding that this is the Supreme Person, worshipped in awe and reverence. Just like Lakshmi Narayana. In the beginning, Vaishnavas, they are taught to worship, awe and reverence. Here he is, the source of the impersonal Brahma. Here he is, the source of the cosmic manifestation. Here he is, the master of Shri. Shri means Lakshmi, who is the abode of all opulences. So this way, we should understand God, and when one's understanding is mature, then he can understand who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the highest or the ultimate original manifestation of the Absolute Truth, is not simply some impersonal idea, not even the Supreme Person who is worshipped with great awe and reverence, but supreme in all aspects, even supreme Lila Purushottam, even in his exchange of loving relationships, his activities, they are supremely relishable. So this is being described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is an exposition of the Absolute Truth, beginning with the words, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadhyasya Yataha. This is the subject of Vedic philosophy. What is the Absolute Truth? From whom everything emanates, in whom everything rests, into whom everything enters at the time of dissolution. That is Vasudev, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyam Param Dhimahi. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth who is to be meditated upon and served. He is the Supreme. We are not Supreme. We are His servants. We become happily situated beyond birth and death by accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and being fixed up in our proper position of service to Him. Jeev Krishna Das Ibishas Korle Ta Ardukonai. As Prabhupada has summarized the whole philosophical situation in these few words in his purport, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized how to be happy. Just simply understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all His servants. Therefore, we should serve Him. And if we serve Him, we become free from all miseries. We become happy eternally. This King Chitraketu, he's meeting the Lord. He has factually realized this. This is not simply some remote idea that people are talking about armchair philosophy, but factually many great persons, among whom Chitraketu is one of the greatest. His story is recounted in Srimad Bhagavatam. King Chitraketu is an example of one among many people who have realized that I am not God, I am not this body, I am not God, I am the eternal servant of God. And by doing that, they have become fixed up in their eternal relationship with God. So as King Chitraketu has become fixed up in this understanding and has seen God face to face, so we can also. Bahava Jnana Tapasa Putamad Bhava Magatha. In Gita, Krishna says that many, many people in the past, they have become purified by knowledge of me, and he says to Arjuna, you can also. So that perfection which King Chitraketu has achieved, he is speaking face to face with the Absolute Truth, that we can also achieve. Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the direction. As Srila Prabhupada said, when he was asked sometimes, have you seen God face to face? Prabhupada said, yes, and you can also. That is open for everybody. So this philosophical understanding is being given in Srimad Bhagavatam so we can become fixed in the proper understanding. Who is the Absolute Truth? What is our relationship with Him? And acting that relationship according to the directions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, given by our acharyas, so that we can progress steadily on the path of purification. And as King Chitraketu and many others have done, also, we can also achieve the same perfection, seeing Krishna face to face, to serve, entering in that relationship to serve Him eternally. Hare Krishna, is there any question? Please.
You were saying in the beginning that the point of philosophy, primary point of philosophy is to understand, become free from birth and death. Can you substantiate?
No, actually in the beginning I said that philosophy, the point is to understand the Absolute Truth. That is, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. What is the Absolute Truth? But later on in the lecture I was saying that other relevant point of philosophy, which is intimately connected with that, is to understand who we are, how one should think, how an intelligent person should think, how he can get free from birth and death. This is real intelligence, to think how I can get free from birth and death. Why should I suffer in this material world? So that, we have the example, our Acharya, that Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked these questions. Who am I? Why am I suffering in this material world? He took direction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to get free from suffering. So, this is an intelligent inquiry. Prabhupada wrote that essay, relevant inquiries. The real inquiry is not what is the price of rice in the market today. That we may ask, but that is not the ultimate purpose of our inquiry. Not the ultimate purpose of our inquiry, how we can get food, shelter, sex and defense. Because even the animals are asking like that. But the real purpose of inquiry is, what is that? Shrota vyadini rajendra nirnam santi sahasrasha apashyatam atmatattam griheshu grihamedinam. People who are like animals, who are grihamedu, simply living for the purpose of eating and sleeping, they don't make these inquiries. Atmatattva. They never inquire into what is the nature of the soul. So these inquiries should be made. These are the first words of Shukadev Goswami.
Bhagavad
Gita, chapter 10. The Lord says, Gandharva Chitraratha. So is it the question? Is that Chitraratha? Is Chitraratha Chitraketra? I don't think so. It may be, but as far as I've read,
he was the king of the Gandharvas. At one point?
It may be, I don't know, I've never read such a thing. That you'd have to research. Please.
When someone has some knowledge, if he's not acting according to his knowledge, does his knowledge doesn't value?
The question is, if someone has knowledge but he doesn't act according to that knowledge, does that knowledge have any value? No. Just like a doctor, if he sees someone is dying, he knows which medicine to give him, but he doesn't give it, then what is the use? What is the use of that knowledge? Of course, he can always start acting according to that knowledge, but as long as he doesn't use it, then it's useless. Just like sometimes people claim that, we're Indians, we're superior. So you may have superior birth, but if you don't act according to that superior birth, then what is the value? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.